confession to make. No big deal, but this particular gospel, as I was approaching ordination, began to rankle me a little bit because it seemed to me that the priest got a raw deal here. I mean, one of the reasons, or the reason, that he didn't stop, once you study the scriptures anyway, is because he would have been going to temple to worship. And if he came even near a person who was dead, he couldn't worship. He had to spend 3 to 7 days cleansing himself through a purification rite, quite involved, before he could worship again. So there was a reason why, and the people who were listening this would have known that. And then the Levite here didn't stop because at the time there was a lot of criminality going on. And then, as of now, you see someone off the side of the road, so to speak, and they look in need, or they want a thumb, or they've been injured, or whatever. Well, you don't quite know how honest they're being then and now, and it could be a ruse, and I'm going to be robbed, or worse. But I always felt that, not knowing that, the priest got kind of a bad rap. And I said that to some second graders my first year here, which is going on 5 years now, over at the grade school. For some reason, I was over there. I think it was, it was second grade. We're getting ready for First Holy Communion, talking about mercy, talking about being equipped to be merciful by grace, especially in the Eucharist, as well as the Word of God. And I said to them, why do you think, without saying anything to them, but by way of background after reading this, why do you think that the priest just passed him by? And this little girl didn't even raise her hand. She popped out and said, quite sincerely, because he'd already been robbed. You see what I mean, boys and girls, that he thought the priest, I guess you had to be there. Jeez. You know, I have to tell you, many times in our experience of being Christian and Catholic, it seems to me, when we come into a sacred space like that, there's a number of things that happen. One of them is, I think we feel a distance. I mean, I come in very busy about many things. Maybe the morning hasn't gone well, and I come in a bad mood, let alone the week, or something is going to happen later on that day, or something in the next week. In other words, I'm just not happy about something. Or everything's fine, I'm just kind of lolling around here, not really in touch. And then you come into the sacred space that has been consecrated by a bishop to experience the holy and the divine. So were you and me because of our baptism. But many times we just don't have the cognizance, the impetus, or the thoughtfulness to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, how many times do we get distracted just whenever you're hearing the gospel? I mean, I wouldn't do this, but it was done to us in the seminary and as friars. The priest would read the gospel and you'd sit down and then he would call on you to tell you what the gospel was. How would you like that? I came across something that I'd never seen before and I thought I'd share it with you. It's from a book called Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith and Parables and Conversations with Jesus by a Catholic priest. I never heard this spin on this. The Good Samaritan, in his book, Secrets from Heaven, Father Sebastian Walsh, offers a wonderful contemplation on Jesus's parable of the Good Samaritan. The man who fell upon robbers is Adam, who was stripped by the devil of charity and justice and left wounded by original sin and its consequences. He's half dead because the soul remains immortal, but now the body is subject to death. The priest and Levite who walk by him are the sacrifices of the old covenant and the law of Moses, which cannot heal man's fallen state. Christ is the Samaritan, a foreigner whose kingdom is not of this world, and who out of pity for the plight of man came into human nature when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The oil and the wine he pours on the man is mercy and justice. The beast the Samaritan mounts the man on is Jesus' human nature. The inn to which the man is brought is the church, a place of safety and healing in this life, while we await the Lord's return. In the innkeeper's care into which the places the man is St. Peter and the apostles. According to Pope Francis, and this is a quote, the Lord comes to meet each one of us. He does not ignore us. He knows our sorrows. He knows how much we need help and consolation. He comes close to us and never abandons us. Each one of us should ask himself the question and answer in his heart, do you believe this? Do I believe that the Lord has compassion on me, just as I am a sinner with so many problems and so many things? Think of this, and the answer is yes, but each one must look into his heart to see if he has any faith in his compassion of God, of the good God who comes close, who heals us, who caresses us. And if we refuse him, he waits. He's patient and always at our side. Okay, now I just shared something there that is part of the teachings of the church. And again, depending where we are in our maturation, our sensibility about God and his presence, how we understand how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, this will either speak to us profoundly, or it won't really touch us at all as far as affect goes. Now remember that the Catholic Church is a church that is affective, meaning love. And so it seems to me we have to think about Christ, who was speaking with such authority. What was it like for him to try to get this message across about what the Father is like, what his love is? On October the 7th of 1971, I had a very profound experience of this, the likes of which had changed a certain sensibility about how we intuit you and your presence, and also how we intuit the devil and his presence that tries to convince us of your absence. This traumatic thing happened that I won't get into, but I came home from where I was. It was late at night. I've been at this prayer service, and it affected me very deeply. And I was in my room where the friars were, where I was teaching school at the time. And I had been quite dazed by what happened. Nothing like this had ever happened. And quite suddenly, I got on my knees before I got into bed to say my prayers, and I closed my eyes. And suddenly, I was outside of myself. I don't know how else to say that. And I was just over here looking, yes, at me, but beyond me. And everything was very colorful, kind of fascinated with the whole thing. And then out of this wall behind me, this person came through the wall. And I gasped because it was Jesus Christ. And what I couldn't get over, among other things, is that he was in pure delight, smiling. As a matter of fact, he even threw his head back and laughed. And I remember thinking to myself, you have teeth. I never thought of you having teeth. But it came up to me behind me, and I could see that he put one hand as he stood behind me here and another here. And he reached down around, and he kissed me here once, then twice, then three times. And then on this side, once, and the third time he went to do it, I said, stop, I'm going to explode. And I could see that he laughed. And he just had his hands on my shoulders. But this is the point I want to make. It had nothing to do with me. It wasn't me he was visiting and kissing, which St. Augustine said is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was us. I had never felt such a connection to the human race as I had then, and I haven't had it like that since, but I don't think we're supposed to have that sense all the time. We can't sustain that kind of profound wonder and awe. But what I saw is a love that you can't put into words. There's no words for what this all-powerful, almighty God is, who pours himself into the human condition in the God-man and sends his Son to save us from ourselves. And what I sense was God's mercy for us. But you see, it's upsetting because whenever you go to explain it, you can't put into language how profound that is. Suddenly you are overwhelmed with the message of the Word and the Word made flesh. And I realized that what he was doing, he was just somehow communicating that he came for us all, and all that we hold back, all that we fear, all that we hesitate about and doubt and wonder, and the usual things that we do in the human condition, but with God and with each other, let alone ourselves, doesn't mean a thing to him. It's obliterated. He's greater than that. All he wants is for us to look at him and love him in return. But here's the rub. And looking at him and loving him from heart to heart, we are falling in love with the human condition and are to treat others the way we'd like to be treated, the golden rule. Whenever he gives the two greatest commandments of loving God, neighbor, and self, he's very serious about neighbor and self. This gospel, as this scholar says, but who is my neighbor? An interesting question. I think if I had been there, excuse the hubris of that, maybe I would have had the impetus to say, well, what is love? I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Well, okay, my neighbor, but what is love? Well, you don't have to reinvent the wheel and go to a library to pick something off of a self-help book or how to have a relationship. It's in the catechesis of the Catholic Church called Scripture and Tradition. It's what we do. That's what he's talking about. My doing is how I manifest love. These are on these confessionals out there. I wish everybody would take one home. It's catechesis in a few leaflets. Stuff that, excuse me, but prior to the Second Vatican Council, we got by the third grade. After the Second Vatican Council, with the poor catechesis, sadly, a lot of people aren't aware of the basics of this. Okay. He says, show mercy, do mercy. All right, what is that? Corporal works of mercy, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, and bury the dead. Hey, parents, don't you think you do the corporal works of mercy with your babies? Don't you feed the hungry? Don't you give drink to the thirsty? Don't you clothe the naked? Change their diapers? How about the spiritual works of mercy? Do mercy to your neighbor. To admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful. This is raising children also as parents. Bear wrongs patiently, forgive all injuries, pray for the living and the dead. And speaking of admonishing the sinner, I'm confused by this Holy Father sometimes. I can't quite read him. With all due respect to the chair, the man sometimes confuses me. How could you possibly, at a mass that you're having, allowing that Pelosi person to receive Holy Communion? He should be admonishing the sinner. I wrote him my fourth letter telling them that this past week. I doubt it will get past the gatekeepers. But I said to him, dear Holy Father, you said something about whenever you have to be pastoral. If you're not pastoral, you're playing into politics. I said to him, excuse me, but pastoral means care of souls. Aren't you caring for that woman's soul? Politics means rhetoric. Whether it's truth or false, it's speech giving. The Catechism of the Catholic Church and what the teach says is truth. Now we admonish people to come to the truth, or we admonish them to say, you know, there is a consequence for a soul that is rebellious about what the church teaches. It's called hell. Let's just say it for what it is. And along the way, the devil is everywhere and tries to seduce us and disbelieve. And what I saw was that overwhelming love that had no words. And he calls us to go out and give to others what we've received. How do I do that? Spiritual and corporal works of mercy. You know, the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, now there was a pope, had everything about talking to the youth, calling the youth sentinels of the morning. And what they were to do to provide for the future, carrying on the traditions that they are catechized to know, is to learn the faith and go out and live it, be a living example of it, and be able to defend it. But I have to know it first, the scripture and tradition. It's part of our baptism. And so he calls on particularly the young among us to know the faith. And really with technology, there's no excuse not to know the faith. We know a lot about a lot of things, and some of it is very frivolous when you get into technology. But what the church teaches is such a strength, overwhelming again. It's just this much that we know about God, because he is bigger than anything. But what we know is enough for us to come to him with all our hearts. And so we pray for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. We pray for married people to be faithful. We pray for people who are single to be faithful to their baptismal promises. And we pray for people to evangelize, even if it's at the workplace. I had a fellow say to me once, you know, I'm kind of chagrined, Father, this neighbor of mine keeps asking me to play golf. I'm getting into either Saturday night or Sunday morning. I see him watering his lawn. He says, hey, I'm going to play golf. You want to join me? He says, no, I'm going to Mass. He said, you know what he said to me last week? He asked me to play golf, and I said, no, I'm going to Mass. He said, and you know, in all these years, not once have you asked me to come to Mass with you? A little thing. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, prompted and pestered to do something that shows my love of neighbor, that is inclusive as opposed to not. Well, that being said, God knows, you know, I could go on and on. There's someone at the 7 o'clock Mass. When I go on and on, in the back, this arm shoots up. It goes like this. And then a second later, if I haven't finished, he does it again, and then he goes... My point is, in ending this, I just want to introduce someone who is a member of the parish who has been called to do the spiritual and corporal works of mercy in a form of evangelization in a professional situation that is called focus. Very proud of him. He's taking a couple of years of his life, and he's going on to university campuses to Catholic students, whether they're practicing or not. He's going to talk about, try to put into words what I find in that moment, I couldn't put into words, but I can put into words what that means by way of what the church teaches. I'd like you to welcome young Mr. Andrew Mitchell, who just for a moment will speak to you about focus. Andrew? Andrew, this is St. Andrew. St. Andrew's, this is Andrew.
Thank you, Father, for that introduction. Good morning, everyone. Like Father said, my name is Andrew Mitchell. I'm a former strength conditioning coach over here at TCU. I worked for the athletic department there for the past 2 years. I've been a coach for the last 11 years and have recently answered the call to be a FOCUS missionary. FOCUS stands for Fellowship of Catholic University Students. I will be stationed on the campus at the University of Texas in Austin, so please don't hurt me after Mass, but we are all on the same team for Jesus Christ. So I shared last night during the 5:30 service, and I'll try to keep this brief, but Father called me this morning and said, make your talk more personal. So I'm just going to share a quick story of basically how I got here. If anybody in the back throws up a wristwatch, no harm, no foul. So before I moved to Fort Worth to accept this position at TCU, I lived in San Diego. I was working at San Diego State, and I went to a church, and they had a adoration service with confession, and there were these unassuming old ladies, I'll say, that kind of the rosary warriors of a parish, and they were praying with people, intercessory prayer on the side while people adored our Lord and went to confession. And I went over there and asked them for prayer. And very unassuming group of old ladies, but when they began to pray over me, I began to experience, I'm glad Father Jim shared a little bit of his testimony, so this doesn't sound so off the wall, but they began to pray over me, and I began to feel the power and love of God radiate through my body in a physical, tangible way. The only way that I can describe that is as if you're holding on to a lightning rod with both hands and just feeling electricity surge through your body. That moment was very profound to me because the presence of God that we receive at our baptism and this grace that we receive and the Holy Spirit begins to dwell within us, that is a real and tangible thing. And I think oftentimes as Catholics and as Christians, we tend to kind of put it off as something like, yeah, we you know, there was water and it got dumped on my head and I have a certificate. But I'm just here to say that there is a living presence that is within you. Many of you may not have had that type of experience, but I can testify to the fact that He is in you and He is powerful and He is loving. Much like Father shared, he felt like he was going to explode. The love and the mercy of God became so evident to me on that night that, I felt like I was going to explode. And that moment changed me for the rest of my life because I went from someone who maybe wasn't as open about their faith to now I couldn't close my mouth about how good and how loving and how merciful God is. That's how I wound up at Focus. That moment 2.5 years ago, I began to look into my life and see, you know, is there something else that I should be doing besides coaching, something maybe more directly related to serving God and serving the church, which led me on a number of different paths, discerning seminary and mission work, and to make it a long story short, eventually found Focus, and it kind of seemed like my type of people that just want to tell people about Jesus and to go and share our faith, to disciple young people, to get back to the point about Focus. We are trying to evangelize college students. I know that sounds very Protestant, but I think everyone can agree the current state of the Catholic Church and the number of people that, A, don't know why we do what we do, or don't even practice their faith. It's very much needed. And Focus answers that need. And the youth that are on the college campuses, these kids, these young adults, they're going to be the ones that eventually take over the country and run the country. They're the future of this nation. That is a generation that is worth saving. And it's so easy to look at maybe what you see on social media or what you see in the news or what you hear maybe from your own children about what's going on in the world or what's going on college campuses. It's very easy to not want to touch it because it is so foreign or so dirty or so obscure. But those are precisely the poor man laying on the side of the road like we read in the gospel today that we must encounter. And that need Jesus Christ and need his church and the fullness of his truth. So that is the mission of Focus, to go and reach the lost, especially on college campuses. And the impact that has on our country is profound and necessary. So wrapping things up, I will be out in the lobby after Mass. I started at UT on August 1st. I have to be fully funded by then. My salary is 100% fundraised. That's true from the CEO and founder of Focus all the way to the last missionary. Everyone fundraises. It's very much a gospel-centered mission as far as how they raise their money. I'll leave you with a quote from St. Mother Teresa. She says, some people give by going. Other people go by giving. Without both, there is no mission. So just the necessity of someone like me going out, needing support like you. You may not be going out to the extent that I am, but in a way, your giving allows me to go out, and I can't do it without support. So I will be out in the lobby. I will have a QR code set up on my computer that you can scan, and it goes to my giving page. I would also like you to fill out a form that has your contact information so that I want it to be relational. It's more than a transaction. It is a relationship. You're a team with me, and I'm going out on mission, and I want you to feel a part of that mission. So I will be out there. You can come and meet me, know more about me. I'd love to know more about you. I'd love to get in touch with you down the road and actually sit down one-on-one. Come with any questions. I ask you to just prayerfully consider supporting me and my mission. It's for a great cause, and I just thank you for your time. God bless.
Thank you, Andrew.